Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
This is Jones and Keefe.
So I'm wondering, were you close to making any deals? And is there any measure of disappointment?
Well, first I would say that deals are like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. There's no like, it's either a deal or it's not. So I don't know how close you can be. I know that everyone worked hard, that we investigated and looked in and made phone calls and they, what personnel departments do. And in the end, we decided that this was what we were going to do.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for a feisty Mike Vrabel,
Keefe? Oh, yes, I am, Jones. I like a feisty Mike Vrabel. I like a feisty head coach.
Yeah, me too.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, you
don't want like the Jim Caldwell taking a snooze on the sideline coach or the guy that just, monotone coach. Give me a feisty coach.
Marco Sturm.
Sterminator, although he's got him buzzing right now.
He's got the boys buzzing.
I want a coach with a pulse.
He's just kind of comatose.
He's a little sleepy there on the bench.
Yeah,
I want somebody that fires the team up.
A feisty coach.
Yeah.
Maybe not too feisty.
Like Kilmer from Varsity Blues.
Then you have Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
I don't want that.
Joe Mazzulla may be too feisty.
He's a different type of
feisty. There's a feisty line.
No, feisty's not the word for Joe Mazzulla. The word for Joe Mazzulla is crazy. That's what he has going for him. But we've come to accept that.
Yeah.
Although, we'll see how the season goes. Nice win, though, for him last night. You were right. They got to open the floodgates on him.
Good win for the Celtics last night.
Yeah, yeah. Not a great Wiz team.
No, I'd say they're poor.
Yeah.
Oh, you see Jaylen Brown's hairline got another victim last night?
Once again, he's going to cool it with the spray paint before the game.
Honestly, I'd be annoyed with the players because the Wizards last night are wearing red uniforms.
Yeah.
So
wear a white undershirt.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm like, look, dude, we're in the NBA. Don't wear an undershirt. It's not high school Jones with trying to cover up your arms with a white t-shirt.
Long sleeve tee?
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're in the NBA. No white t-shirt under your... I saw you guys were wearing red uniforms. I didn't think you'd out my hairline.
That used to never be allowed.
I peppered that thing up last night.
Remember, there was never any undershirts for anybody. Everybody just wore the jerseys.
It wasn't allowed, or that's just men were men?
Maybe men were men.
I think just men were men.
Maybe that's what it was.
If Charles Oakley saw you in a white t-shirt, he'd break you in two.
He would kill you and have every right to.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was no undershirts back. Who was the first idiot that was like, I'm wearing an undershirt? And then they were like, yeah. Because in college they would. They'd cut the sleeves. That
it's
was cool.
Be some
Remember John
tall,
Wallace?
Yeah, some tall, skinny guy. Some tall, like.
Who's the first guy that wore the shirt? Because I wonder what happened. Maybe guys started wearing sleeves, like just like Allen Iverson sleeves.
Sure.
And then that morphed into like.
Sean Bradley?
I'll just wear a shirt. You think Sean Bradley?
AI overview.
Thank you, Billy.
While it's difficult to pinpoint the absolute first player, Patrick Ewing is widely recognized as the early trendsetter for wearing an undershirt or sleeves under an NBA jersey.
So he did at Georgetown, which was funny because he was a hoss, right, at Georgetown, and he wore like a little tiny gray t-shirt underneath back in the day. But with the Knicks, he wasn't wearing a t-shirt, was he?
I don't think so.
I don't think it happened at all. And then it just became like commonplace. Guys are wearing pants.
I
want to
blame Sean Bradley. That's who I want to blame.
He's catching a false stray there, I feel like.
You think so?
Yeah.
I had to double check. He is still with us. I don't know if he was... wearing t-shirts in the sky.
No, he's...
But he is... Sean Bradley is still with
here
us.
Here on Earth, he's wearing shirts. Yeah.
But okay.
7'6". That's a big shirt he must have been wearing.
Jalen... tall from foot action.
Jaylen Brown's hairline caught another body last night.
Although he did respond to it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, so, I hadn't seen this.
So somebody tweeted about it. I think it was like Bleacher Report or whatever. They were like... Where does it say? It says Jaylen Brown strikes again. Cry face emoji, cry face emoji. And it's him dribbling the ball and then just covering some guy with the Wizards. And then Jaylen Brown responded and wrote, AI is getting out of hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's blaming 5.6
million views on that tweet.
Blaming the bots. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, I wouldn't rule that out. I guess I should.
You think it was a Jaylen Brown clone that was playing last night?
Well, we'll get into clones today. It's been a hot topic. We'll go on the clock at high noon.
Mm-hmm.
Pro clone, anti clone.
I would take on the role of anti clone.
You'll
Thank
make
you
the case
much.
Against clones at high noon. I will make the case for. We go on the clock every Thursday at high noon. This might be a new Thursday tradition. The Jackson 5 making its way to Jones and Keefe.
I'm excited about this.
Jackson is cooking up five questions.
It can be anything. You were under the impression it was trivia.
I thought it was going to be trivia, but I'll tell you, I got a text from Jackson last night. It is not trivia.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you. We both got a text from
We were on a group chat.
Yes.
And so that might be. We don't even know if that's going to be one of the questions. I kind of hope it is because there's a lot of different ways to answer that one.
If it is, this segment's going to go much differently than I was anticipating.
I don't believe it's trivia. I don't think it's versus anybody. I think it's sort of get to know you kind of question.
Peek inside the brain of Jones.
Peek under the hood a little bit.
Yeah, don't think you're out of this, Lanny and Nick. You're in.
They can answer.
Yeah, you can answer.
You're going to have to.
So the Jackson 5 at 11:30. We got a key for Madden. This for you at 12:45. I'm not sure what it is, but rarely do I hear Keefe laugh the way he was laughing at whatever he was listening to.
Oh, the madness?
For Keefe or Madness later on.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. Madness is pretty good.
An evil laugh is what it was. So we'll get
that's
to
that's actually true.
With all your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Somehow we were talking about t-shirts in the NBA and Sean Bradley and Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
But we started off talking about Mike Vrabel.
Feisty Mike.
And his feistiness.
Yep.
That was one example yesterday. The trades are like getting pregnant. It either happens or it doesn't.
I guess.
This is probably a better example of Vrabel and his feistiness. This is Vrabel clapping back. Not very happy with Andrew Callahan and his line of questioning yesterday. Let's hear from the head coach, if we could.
Mike, I'm really question about your, the long-term vision for the program, is what's most important here. In fact,
winning is the most important thing. Don't put words in my mouth. Winning is the most important thing.
When you guys were discussing how to handle the trade deadline, did the fact of how wide open the AFC currently looks like at all factor into your decision making?
For us to sit here and think that anything is wide open and talk about playoffs, like we're focusing on our 10th game in a row. That's what we're focused on is how do we get prepared on Wednesday? How do we get our bodies back? How do we get mentally prepared, physically prepared to go on the road to a place that is hard to play? And that's where our focus is. It's not trying to predict the future or saying, well, it's wide open. It's we're just going to keep focusing on what's in front of us. And that's what those conversations are about.
Okay. What's he mad at? Why is he mad at that line of questioning? Is he mad at himself because he was very forward focusing and we're trying to build things smartly and he didn't say it's year one of the rebuild and he didn't say the Commanders are stupid, but the organization's putting all that out there about this season. So did he feel like he got put into a corner there? Was Andrew Callahan out of line for his question? Like, why was Vrabel getting so snippy?
Well,
there?
I feel like now, the trade deadline's a time, especially when you are taking over a team and you're talking about the rebuild and you're talking about the future, but you're also, throughout the year, been talking about the present and trying to win now, and that's even what he went back to yesterday. It's sort of like, put your money where your mouth is right now. Like, if you are about winning, wouldn't you want to help your team right now? Right, because it's not an either or. It's not sacrifice your future for wins now,
right?
Or play the long game and don't do anything. There's a giant middle ground, and they chose not to even take part in that. So I wonder if it's like some of his own words being used against him, which he's a little annoyed by.
That's kind
of
what I think.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
I kind of think there's some of that going on. Is that Giannis? Who is that?
Ilya Brizgalov.
Oh, what was the Giannis one?
Brizgalov? Why do you have that?
What was the Giannis? Giannis had a line just like that, didn't he? Where
I have a bunch of Brizgalov drops. He's scared of bears in the forest. He's a funny dude.
Let's forget this. Let's talk about Brizgalov. No, Giannis was just now's not the time to be mad.
I'm not afraid of anything.
Here we go.
I'm afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
Oh, no, that's still Brizgalov.
That's all Brizgalov. Yeah. That's Nick's Brizgalov folder that he has.
That's the two I have.
He's been waiting for the time to play it.
I think Vrabel's a little bit. I think he's a little bit angry that his words are getting thrown back in his face, and he's talking out both ends of his mouth
because he really hasn't done that to this point, right? Like we made a point the other day, like not to pile on Gerard Mayo because enough is enough, but every other day. It was sort of like, I said this, but I meant this. Oh, I said that, but I really meant to say this. So that happened nonstop. We got used to it. For 8-9 weeks, it was like, Vrabel's consistent. And not only is Vrabel consistent, like what he says, the team kind of echoes like throughout the time. But now you're in this weird spot where it's like, it's not just Mike Vrabel, the head coach. Like, I know he's not technically the GM, but he has way more say in player personnel than Mayo did or than some other head coaches do around the league. And so when you get to a point where, all right, here's your chance to make moves, and you're talking about how hard everybody was working and everybody was trying to do this, that, and the other thing, but, oh, but, you know, we chose not to do anything. It's like,
it's not
really
a failure. It's steps to success.
Yeah, so maybe that's what this is. Maybe this is steps to success.
That's Giannis, or that's still Brzgalov?
No, that's Giannis.
That's Giannis. I'm confused at who I'm even listening to.
Well,
anymore.
That could be a new game. Yeah. Who said it, Giannis or Brzgalov?
And then the rest of the game is, who's Brzgalov? When it comes to Vrabel, we haven't heard him get mad that much. Like, no. He was like, oh, Phil, you stupid idiot. Where'd you go to college?
Yep.
That was one time. There haven't been many of those. But I think he's mad his words are getting thrown back in his face.
Yeah, you might be right.
Because an alternate interpretation from, like, for instance, our guy Hogg would be he's mad at Wolf for not getting any deals done. I don't think that's it. I don't think he's mad at Elliot Wolf. I don't think Elliot Wolf has any power. I think Vrabel is right there in charge of what they're doing and not doing at the trade deadline. And so he doesn't like looking weak isn't the right way to say it. He doesn't like looking like he doesn't believe in this team.
Mm.
And if you're worried about just if you're looking at the exercise of keeping your sixth round picks, you can't possibly fully believe in your team this year if you're worried about your sixth-round picks next year. If you're worried about building and stockpiling picks for next year,
yeah,
and you're worried about building things, then you don't really believe in making a move this year. Maybe the Colts overpaid. They believe in their team this year.
Oh, yeah.
They made a move to take advantage of the AFC. And I think Vrabel doesn't like coming across looking like he doesn't believe in his team. He's been telling his team adamantly, guys, we can do this. Guys, this is what we want to do. We want to come in. We want to win divisions. We want to host home playoff games. We want to win championships. And then his actions at the trade deadline are the opposite of that. In fact, they peeled off pieces and subtracted. Yeah. So I think he's feisty because he doesn't like the narrative that's being built. And I guess we're guilty of it. But he doesn't like the narrative out there that he doesn't believe in his team. And he got caught there.
Yeah.
And he said, well, no. The most important thing isn't building things the right way. The most important thing is winning. And winning is the most important thing. And I just don't think their actions align with that at the deadline. And I think he got exposed and he didn't like it.
Because you can't spin this as a good deadline. You could make the case that, you know what, they're going to be fine. They're the same team that they were. And if you had high expectations for them, you can continue to have those and they'll be fine. They're not better. They took two guys that made the team out of camp. And even though their roles were diminished, they were part of the 53. They played, especially Duggar, when there was injury, that he was up there. They took two guys from the roster, got rid of them for late picks next year, and added no other players. So they're worse. They're not much worse. They're pretty much the same. But, you know, like, this was an opportunity to get just a little bit better. Or even if it was not a starter that you were adding, you just give yourself that better chance, right? Like, edge rush got brought up a lot, so much so that I kind of fear that, like, Landry or Chasen's going to get hurt because people were talking about edge rush all season. I was like, give me a running back. But people wanted edge rush. But that's a good example. You don't have to necessarily bring in a starter, but somebody that you deemed better than Keon White. If you just even did that, like, hey, Keon White's out, but we have what we think is a better version of Keon White.
We said this all along. I'm like, if you use the sixth-round pick for Duggar and you use the sixth-round pick for Keon White that you got, and you thought this is what they were doing. You thought they were accumulating assets to turn around and then flip them for different players that fit better.
Right.
I would have applauded them at the deadline. But as those trades happened, I said, well, I hope they're not just selling. I hope they're going to do something. Then they didn't do something. And now Vrabel sounds annoyed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, winning's the most important thing. I don't believe. Do you believe him? When he says winning is the most important thing, is that how they approach it at the trade deadline?
No, I think they're trying to be like a sustainable, good team. So I think they're more worried about that.
I don't believe him when he says that. Yeah. I think he's more worried about building this thing properly over time, which, by the way, could be the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're right. Maybe the team can't go on a deep run this year. Maybe the team can't win the AFC, win a Super Bowl this year, and maybe their calculations, they know that. They'd really have to get lightning in a bottle. And they understand, guys, you know what? We're ahead of schedule, but it's still not our year. The Chiefs are still the Chiefs. The Ravens are still lurking. The Bills are the Bills, et cetera, et cetera. And we want a better chance next year and the year after that and taking advantage of Drake May's next decade in the league. I'm not even telling you that's wrong. They might be right about that. But the way they approached it at the trade deadline is that. That's what they did. What the Colts did, what the Jaguars did, I mean, what even some of the teams in the NFC did. The Eagles, for sure. What they did, those are teams that are treating winning right now as the most important. And maybe the Patriots win in spite of it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be proven right over the long term. But the way they acted doesn't align with what Vrabel said yesterday. Not even close.
Yeah, no, it's just frustrating because I feel like everything has been pretty positive or very positive for the Patriots. And even going back to when they hired Vrabel and then the moves after that, yeah, we all wanted, you know, Ronnie Stanley or Chris Godwin or whatever. So it's not like they got every single guy that they wanted, but they went out and they actually did spend some money. Milton Williams and Harold Landry and Robert Spillane and Steph Diggs and Mac Hollins have all been pretty good. The draft seems like overall pretty good. You got a couple of starting linemen. So that was when you could add to your team. So the offseason, I would say, was a win. How they've played in the regular season is a win. This is the one time in the year, or the last opportunity of the year, where you can kind of tinker with your roster a little bit more rather than just, like, you know, practice squad guys or whatever, like waiver claims.
Well,
but and that was a miss. So it was similar to the Red Sox in that sense, where you have a really good regular, you have a really good offseason, but then unfortunately you don't follow that up with a good trade deadline.
Will you in any way apply how they play to the trade deadline? Like, well, if they come out flat, they lose, they don't look right against Tampa, will you look at that and go, "We'll see, this is evidence of how they approach the trade deadline," or will you just say, "Tampa's coming off a bye week.
No.
Tampa's good.
Yep.
Tampa's at home. It'll just be those things."
I think it'll be those things. I think where I'll really look at the trade deadline is if and maybe we'll probably see it this week, actually.
Injuries at safety, injuries at edge rush. Yeah.
So Stevenson probably isn't going to play.
Nope.
So if Terrell Jennings plays really well, then, like, tip your cap to him and, like, good for you. Like, I hope he does. But if he kind of stinks and Henderson struggles a little bit, you'd be like, why? You couldn't grab the running back? Like, you know Gibson's not coming back, and we have no idea when Stevenson's coming back. So less so them, like, coming out flat or anything like that, and more so if they lose a guy, or, like, if, you know, if Booty's out for an extended period of time, be like, you didn't want to add somebody there? Like, right. Just the, if the depth or the lack of depth shows, then that's when I'll be the most annoyed.
And again, those players moved at wide receiver, Myers, Rashid Shaheed, maybe you think they overpaid.
Yeah.
But those guys moved, and they weren't Titans or Dolphins or Jets, which the reports are that the Titans and teams in the division didn't want to deal with the Patriots, although Phil Perry today reported, or actually yesterday, that Tennessee was in fact willing to negotiate with the Patriots despite the franchise's history with Vrabel, just couldn't get anything done. So Perry's reporting one thing there, Giardi's reporting another. I guess we can square those away. However, I wouldn't blame Tennessee for not wanting to deal with the Patriots, and that might be right. That rings true to me. Amy Adams Strunk doesn't want to do Vrabel any favors. I believe that. I don't think Kraft wanted to do Belichick any favors when he was doing interviews with the Atlanta Falcons. So I don't think the Titans wanted to help the Patriots. I just point out, Phil is saying something different. And, oh, by the way, other players moved. There were a lot of other players that moved on other teams. That's not an excuse for getting nothing done at the trade deadline. Why is Vrabel annoyed? And do you think Mike Vrabel really believes in this team? And do you agree with him that winning is most important? 617-779-7937. A reminder, Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live all season long, kicking off with a juicy Week 10 matchup between the Patriots and the Buccaneers. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Speaking of that matchup, let's get into how a win over the Buccaneers would change your outlook of the Patriots this season. We have Jackson 5 on the way at 11:30. Jackson cooking up five questions for Keith, myself, Nick, Billy, the whole crew. We'll also go on the clock at high noon. Keith is going to make a case against clones. What a foolish argument.
No, it's the easiest case to be made.
And I'm going
to
make a case for clones.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Stand with Tom Brady, Keith. I stand with Tom Brady.
This isn't
on this
just
one.
Dogs we're talking about.
No, this is
all cloning, including human beings.
Correct.
Okay. With souls.
We also have a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45, so stay tuned for all of it. We'll get into the Pats and Bucks right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.